Good afternoon, guys, and I'm thrilled to welcome you to the Fig Factor Weekly Roundup. My name's Harry Macy. To my left, this stunning man is turtleneck sweater. We've got the wonderful Miles George. And
pleasure
then
to be here.
On our right, the incredible Matt Maxted.
Thank you, Harry.
Matt, how are we doing today? Okay?
Oh, wonderful.
Good, Miles. Thank you so much for coming in. How's your week been so far?
All good. Always busy. Always fun working in this industry. But yeah, good to be here.
Never a slow day, is there?
Never a slow day.
To be honest with you, I always think, I can't wait for a slow day. Then as soon as it happens, I just immediately flip the other way. And I'm like, I can't stand this.
I'll make myself busy again.
I'm exactly that. I call it shark mentality. Just always swimming forward. I think on paper, those days, like, oh, I did nothing. They sound great. But I think as soon as I'm there, I'll just start over-contemplating my life, thinking about all the terrible decisions I've ever made. I'm like, it's not good for me. I'm a busy kind of guy.
Got to keep on the grind.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in, guys. So this is the pilot episode of the Fig Factor Weekly. So we'll hand over to Miles, who's going to give us a little bit of an overview of what we do. But essentially, all three of us are here on behalf of Supplement Factory, one of Europe's leading innovators of supplements. We design new products, we manufacture new products, and as such, and as part of this, we've got some really interesting insights into the industry. I know we've all got a particular passion for supplementation or sports or certainly something relating to the industry. But Miles, give us a little bit of a summary. You know, who is Supplement Factory and you know, what brings us here?
Yeah, perfect. So Supplement Factory, we're part of the Forza International Group. Hence why the fig in the Fig Factor comes from.
I'm ashamed to say how long it took me to work that out. For the first like two episodes, I was like, fig?
I think people...
We're not just fig obsessed factor. With figs, are we? There is a reason behind the fig.
Yeah.
Is it a fig tree?
It is indeed a fig tree, healthy. It's part of our mantra.
There we go, perfect.
So the Fig Factor Weekly Roundup, there'll be guests like myself and Harry and Matt and others across the companies in the group, but this company is Supplement Factory, who we work for. In essence, we are deep inside the supplement health and wellness industry, manufacturing the products that you take on a daily basis. So, you know, going into Holland and Barrett or going into your local supplement store on Amazon or all the big brands you may know of, there's a good chance that Supplement Factory might actually produce on behalf of those brands. Whether it's formulating or producing, it's not just us, there's others in the industry as well. But we were passionate to come on here to talk about our experiences with health and wellness, and I think personally how eye-opening it's been, certainly for me, sort of coming into this industry thinking I knew a lot about health and wellness, and actually finding out how much more I had to learn to truly understand how to unlock my human potential with supplements. And part of our mission is to see, can we impart that knowledge on others?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really wonderful roundup. And I think I felt exactly the same before I started working in the supplement industry myself. I thought I sort of had a good grasp of it. I sort of knew the big brands, but actually I feel like ever since I started working in the industry, I've seen inside the honeycomb. I didn't realize how intricate it was, all those sort of pitfalls, and just as well, you know, the difference in the quality of products and ingredients, and you know, I think it's taken a good couple of years for me to really gain that understanding. But I think we've all sort of seen some products go to market that I think, you know, are really fantastic and really do benefit the end user, and I think I've seen just as many go to market where essentially it's just all marketing. Really, there's very little to anything in the product, and it's much more of a sort of marketing ploy by the brand. So yeah, I think it'd be really interesting to do a bit of a deeper dive on the industry to understand where these sort of common pitfalls are, the sort of things we should look out for, and generally just try and give people a bit of advice on, you know, how to best optimize using their supplements, what sort of supplements they should be taking, and just anything they should be looking out for when it comes to snake oil salesman.
Absolutely. I mean, I thought I'd learn it all by the time I come here. I mean, in my journey, I'd learned so much. You know, probably must have been over 10, 12 years ago now, I sort of started bodybuilding. It wasn't even bodybuilding, wasn't even the intention, actually. It was to...
Just getting swole, baby.
Yeah. Get the girls.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Look good.
How old were you started? Was that sort of early 20s, mid-20s?
Early 20s when I started doing that.
And did you have the speedos?
Not in the gym. No, otherwise I would have got kicked out. Yeah. But I think what Matt's alluding to is the competitions.
Yeah.
That I did. So yeah, it started off just, you know, get big, get the girls, feel confident in myself.
Yeah.
And then I'm the sort of mindset that I've got to do something for a purpose, and that wasn't enough of a purpose for me. So it sort of led into, let's compete, let's see how far I can push this thing. I got up on stage, but no, there was no speedos. It was the men's physique.
I've seen it's very disappointing. It shorts down to the knee. It was a shame. Is it not too late to get back to it, get the speedos on?
In this condition, I think I'll probably be sectioned somewhere. I think this guy's lost. I gave the whole thing up hard. It was a hard stop. Yeah. You know? And I think the speedos as well, that sort of took it, going into that level of bodybuilding, the proper bodybuilding, took it into a step I wasn't comfortable with. And in that area of things, it's all hormones and steroids.
Kind of unreversible what you're sort of starting to do to the body. You're taking some really starting to push the boundaries of what, you know, the regular body's used to.
I looked into it. When you're on that journey, I'm the sort of person that wants to take things further and further. How can I get better and better and better? And you start to hit these plateaus. You know, you're coming into your mid-20s, you're not growing as fast as you used to be when you started at the gym. And you think, you know, I could go to that next level. You know, I could do it. And I was surrounded by people who understood steroids intricately, people who even doctors were sort of doing it on the side, and I did plenty of research into what it would entail to do it, what I thought was safely and properly, and I just got to a point where I felt like the experiences that I was learning of and the experiences I was seeing in my friends and other people that were doing it were just not something I wanted to go towards.
Wasn't worth sacrificing your future.
Yeah. No, and I think a lot of the concerns are around, you know, when you're pumping your body full of artificial hormones above the levels it's supposed to be at, your body stops its own production.
You know? Yeah. So this is, I'll touch on my sort of sporting background in a minute, but I think the reality of sports these days is actually steroids are everywhere. Yeah. A lot of people are doping. There's a reason that the professional sports are so heavily regulated, but I think everything that's sort of at an amateur level, I think there are a lot of people who are taking it. I know I've been offered it countless times, and probably one of the biggest compliments I've ever had is people asking me if I'm on steroids. I'm like, stop.
That's the best one.
I'm like, you're on steroids. I'm like, that's harder. But yeah, I think it's the side effects. Firstly, huge needle phobia. So I was never willing to inject myself. But I think as well, yeah, like you said, that those sort of side effects that people are taking. Now, my particular passion and sports is just all around mixed martial arts, MMA, jiu-jitsu, things like that. And it's really rife in that sport. And I think the things that open my eyes is actually a lot of people are getting bust for, not just testosterone, but like estrogen and things like that. It really opened my eyes. I realized, yeah, absolutely, you're shooting your body full of huge loads of testosterone. So, of course, your testicles freak out and they say, shut it down, boys. We don't need anything here. But then there's that side effect, you know, potentially people can develop, you know, man boobs and things like that, because the estrogen then spikes to try and balance out. And I just remember thinking, this just isn't worth the risk here.
Through my research, you know, you can do post-cycle therapies, obviously cycling, you know, your steroids on and off, and sort of mid-cycle therapies. Mm. And, you know, as you get further into learning what you think is a safe stack of steroids to do, you're taking all of a sudden to combat estrogen, you're taking breast cancer pharmaceuticals, you're taking estrogen supplements, well, not actually supplements, you're taking estrogen drugs. You're taking more and more hormones that your body shouldn't be having and should be producing on its own. You just say this is getting more and more complicated.
Yeah. Seriously expensive as well to keep that up for almost the rest of your life.
Yeah,
it's more expensive than a heroin addiction.
Yeah, it's when you suddenly get to the point where you actually realise this is a lifelong commitment. I'm putting myself on this path for short-term gain. To look good in my 20s, I got very close, and like you said, with the needle phobia, I don't think I really had the needle phobia, but I researched all the injection sites, where you need to do it, you know, varying the injection sites between the glutes. I think there's one just beneath the hip as well, which apparently is really good to get into. I got really close, but I'm really glad now that I didn't, and I studied and learned as much as I can. I put that mindset towards, you know, just supplementation, what comes out of the ground, what we can get from food, and how we can best sort of, you know, I can maximize my results, really. Like I've said before, I thought I knew a lot, I thought I knew it all, and then I came here.
And then really you realise how little you did know.
Yeah, how little I did know, really.
One conversation with a formulator humbles you very quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's so interesting as well, Matt, that you touched on the right word. It becomes like a heroin addiction. I think it does. I think when people really get into it and they see that physique change, probably like you and I both had actually in our earlier 20s, when you first start really seeing, wow, I'm getting results, my body's really changing for the better, I'm getting those compliments. I think people, when they're on steroids, I think they do get addicted. They get addicted to that size and wanting to push further and further and further.
And combined it with body dysmorphia that everyone struggles with.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I think I can be quite open and say, you know, I know I'm in great shape. I struggle with body dysmorphia sometimes. I will spend 20% of my time thinking I'm in phenomenal shape. I spend 30% of my time thinking that I'm getting fat, and I spend 30% of my time thinking I'm really skinny. And actually, it's quite a sweet spot for me to sit there and feel that. But I think it's so much because of watching professional athletics and what we see on Instagram and in movies and things like that, your sort of reference point goes off. But yeah, I think people do get really hooked on that, you know, that size and trying to look big. And I think we briefly spoke about this the other day, is you can't show me too many old bodybuilders. I think we know there's a lot of health issues associated with it. And I think it's like Rich Piana and countless of other really famous, even successful bodybuilders.
Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger have all had several heart surgeries and all sorts.
There was a German bodybuilder who's big on TikTok. I'll find his name in a minute. He died at the age of 30 from it.
Yeah.
He was massive and a huge following on TikTok. And, you know, everyone knew him. And bang.
It's, especially nowadays when it's, you know, everything goes to the, how can we go more extreme and more extreme, and we're taking, you know, HGH at ridiculous levels, and obviously that makes every muscle grow. That includes your heart. Your heart's getting bigger than it should be able to. It's finding it harder to beat. It's getting out of rhythm, and that's when you're getting all the risks.
Yeah, I've also had, you know, friends or training partners I've trained with who've been really open about their steroid use and stuff, and I'll just never forget one of them putting me aside and just being like, oh yeah, when I'm on it, I just want to kill a man. And I'm like, I really don't need these feelings. I want, like, going around my head. And I think as well, I've seen quite a few, yeah, there's quite a few telltale signs. Like people acne flares back up acne really well, badly. Yeah, that's pretty noticeable. You know, you see a lot of veins, hair loss as well. It's quite, and we can't be sparing that, can we, boys? No. I don't have any hair to spare here. Yeah. And I think I've got, again, a few training partners who took it. And I think, you know, every time you see someone, you dab them up.
Yep.
Like that.
Oh, that's a good one, that
and
was.
I'll never forget one week I turned up and I was like, hey, you're right, mate. What? And I was like, honestly, I had a few friends. I don't know whether they got a group deal or something. Hands and heads just got absolutely enormous. The point, anytime you grab the hands, you'd be like, I'm shaking hands with a bunch of bananas here.
Yeah.
So it works. But again, I just think.
Yeah, that's all HGH. Yeah, every muscle grows.
And what they explained to me, and again, I live off bro science. Here we go. We'll bring in more intelligent people who can give us a better understanding on very a bro science level. But not only does it grow those muscles, the hands, the head, but also any cysts, any sort of, you know, abnormal growths, anything like that, that will also always be sped up in growth when you're on HGH, when you're on the growth hormone, things like that. I think these are the things people don't think about. And I think there's a young man who, external contractor, doesn't work for supplement factories, but in a few times we've had a good conversation with him. Lovely young man, pretty good size. He goes to a well-known local gym. I know you know the gym well.
Mm-hmm.
He was openly talking to me the other day, you know, oh yeah, I've been weightlifting, do you want to come down and train? I've got a show coming up. And I just asked him, just casually, I said, oh, you know, natural, or are you dosing? This 18-year-old kid, he listed about 10, 12 different
18,
you know,
as well.
18 years old, before the young man's life's even started, he's, you know, what is it? You grow until you're sort of early, mid-20s.
Yep.
And this guy's, you know, taking a serious, serious stack. And I was just like, crush, I'm not his dad, but, you know, I really want to put him aside and just be like, you are way too young to be hitting this. You know, you're going to break your dick before you even had a chance to use it.
That's it. When he finally falls off that bandwagon, he's not interested in bodybuilding like I was. Fortunately, I can just sort of, you know, my hormone levels have remained good. They've remained fine. I've had no problems because I didn't do the steroids. But for this guy, it's going to be a really rocky path.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be perpetual TRT.
Yeah.
For him to just remain a normal man.
Yeah.
The amateur level at that age is awful. If you look at celebrities, I think it was Christian Bale in The Machinist to then The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
5 months, he went from anorexic to built. And kids will see that and go, I want to do that. That's with professional supervision, and he probably won't have long-term side effects from that. At 18 years old, talking to a bloke at the gym,
Yeah,
it's seriously concerning.
Yeah, celebrities have done it, and I think, you know, some people are aware. Some people aren't aware that celebrities do it, you know, as professional bodybuilders do with doctors, sometimes even a team of doctors, you know, measuring their total health, looking for tumours or cysts that may grow faster, you know, balancing hormone levels constantly. But, you know, the average person, they can't do that.
No, they don't have access to that, well, financially, firstly, but then also they just don't have access to that level of treatment. And I think, you know, and like you said, I think a lot of people don't understand it. But unfortunately, you know, feel free to bleep out the names, but I think that there's been some really interesting pieces on, like, Hugh Jackman getting ready for Wolverine movies. Mm-hmm. They show him like 6 months before, and then they show him ready for the shoot, and man, he looks absolutely jacked. And Jake Gyllenhaal in Southpaw, and in the Roadhouse movie, again, you know, his normal physique, impressive, really impressive. But like, when he's ready for those movies, it's insane. But what they do is they spend months and months and months working him to the peak. He's in peak condition for the movie, then it drops off, and then he's done. They clear out the system. There's more of a plan to it, and I think. There's a hilarious interview with Jake Gyllenhaal for Southpaw where he got in the most amazing shape of his life, and then I think they had to delay the shoot for another couple of months, and he was just there like, oh no, like I've got to continue this for an additional couple of months here, because that's the reality. The body isn't designed to sustain that shape and that size, and it is a really tough one. But yeah, so you mentioned you gave up the bodybuilding. You're still looking in damn fine shape, Mars. What's the regime at the moment?
Well, thank you very much. Nothing at all.
Wow. Lucky you.
Nothing at all.
Genetic lottery.
I think I am blessed with a good metabolism. Yeah.
And you eat fairly clean. I seem to see you always eat pretty decent meals.
Yeah, I eat fairly clean. So I think that's just part of that, you know, not only in the time of understanding health, supplements, food, in my journey of bodybuilding, but also coming here as well, it reinforces that point. I want to understand more, what am I putting into my body, you know, and this podcast is more about something, it's more than something, it's food in general, everything we can put into us to unlock our potential, and also to...
A lot on lifestyle as well, and the choices that we make, I think.
Mitigate damage.
Yeah, exactly that.
I think it is another point. So I eat well, you know, I avoid a lot of preservatives. I really especially avoid emulsifiers. I've had terrible experience with those, and I've read the scientific papers on the harm. You know, things like food colourings, sweeteners very specifically. And I've got my body to a point where it goes for very long periods without preservatives, without additives, a lot of time without alcohol. Although I do have it in moderation, to a point where when I do consume bad things, as we all do, you know, we all want to enjoy ourselves, my body reacts very, very badly to it. It doesn't have a good time. It sort of goes to show you can build up a tolerance to these things when you're eating them, these you know, processed and food additives in food. Builds up a tolerance, you don't really notice the side effects when you come off it.
That's the you know, and that's the point with alcoholics and drug addicts as well. You've raised your baseline now, and the point is, if you wake up hungover every single day or on some huge come down, it's just regular. You don't even know how bad
body
you feel.
Adapt,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Whereas this is the problem now. You've now made your body feel great all the time. So when you're saying, when you do have a bit of booze in it, you wake up next to it, God, I really feel like I was drinking last night, and you have that knock-on effect.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same for me, obviously, now in my 30s. You know, alcohol treats me differently anyway.
She comes for us all, doesn't she? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, outside of that, you know, having sometimes long stints, sometimes months, actually, I go without drinking. And then when you have a couple of drinks on a night out with some friends, yeah, you really feel it. Whereas, you know, I think even in your 30s or any age, actually, if you are consistently having it, which isn't a good thing, but if you are consistently having it, you won't feel... your body is fantastic at adapting to whatever's thrown at it. It does a brilliant job.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of constantly ingesting alcohol, Matt Maxted, how are we doing today, mate? Thank you so much for coming along.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Yeah, so Matt, what is it that you sort of do as working within the supplement industry? What's your sort of area of expertise? What is it that's got you interested and you sort of spend your time doing?
Well, I'm here in the marketing department, and part of my role here is doing comprehensive market research. Done it for a number of brands now, and I'm really found an understanding of what's going on in the supplement market and uncovering tricks that supplement brands use. You mentioned before that sometimes you've seen brands release products that aren't that good but have great marketing, and sometimes they're the most successful. and the other way around. So you tend to have scientists make great products, but scientists aren't very good at selling.
Mm.
You know, so I've really come to learn a lot from the insides of the supplement market. Coming here before, I only ever taken protein, and I was one of those that joined the gym. Your mates just coming out of school, you're like, right, what do we do? Oh, there's protein on the side. We're going to take that. No counting my calories, anything. I just saw protein and thought I'll get big. Obviously, it did not work. And since coming here now, I've learned more, spoke to you boys. And it really is eye-opening the difference supplements can make in your life.
Mm.
I've started taking lion's mane recently.
Oh, great. So more on the nootropic space.
Yeah, really focusing on nootropics. And it has genuinely changed my life.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Fantastic. So the lion's mane, in particular, in sort of capsule form, and you take that like on a daily basis.
Yeah, on a daily basis. Yeah. And I found midday onwards... I don't think we've got any in here.
No, you know, I was just looking for. Yeah, I was looking for the space kids.
But midday onwards, I didn't get sleepy. I'd always struggle. I'd struggle for focus. My mind would be drifting off. Since taking those consistently, none of that.
Again, that was another thing that I'd never heard of before working in the supplement industry. And again, something I really religiously believe in now is that the power of those nootropics and those alternatives. And unfortunately, I didn't have any today, so that's why you just see me just have my second cup of coffee, because we sat down right for about a start. I caught myself yawning a few times. But you're right, those alternatives that maybe people don't know about quite as much, that don't have that knowledge behind them at the moment, that exposure. But it is incredible. They sort of say, you know, coffee without the jitters, coffee without the crash. And that's exactly what I sort of got from products like that.
If someone mentions to you, I take mushrooms, you instantly think, right, you're taking psychedelics.
Magic mushrooms, baby.
That's what I thought. Someone's like, right, can I do a mushroom supplement? I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
I was like, I'm all on board, let's go.
But yeah, it's actually, they're incredibly powerful. Mm. And I think they're changing times now, but these no-jitter coffee alternatives are game-changing. Yeah. They really are.
And consumer awareness has grown now, hasn't it? Mushroom nootropics, mushroom coffees have become... You know, from our position, and you know, you would know as well, working on launching products, the demand for those as a manufacturer for us has risen, and I think consumers are learning more about the benefits of mushrooms. Where I think a few years prior to this, I don't think people would have wanted, if you said to someone, "Oh, mushroom coffee," they would have gone, "Yeah, tastes horrible. Yeah. What is that?" Yeah.
Well, I think Matt, you know, you've put together some really amazing research, perhaps. Obviously, you've seen the data on it. So I think, compared to other products, mushrooms must have been one of those ones where, you know, 2019, 2020, 2021, and all the way up.
Pretty much, yeah. There was a few big players that joined the market at similar times, and they've all just taken over by storm. Mm. I won't name them, but you can guess if you just do one Google search for mushroom nootropics, you'll see the big boys.
The guys that come up.
Yeah, and they have really led the charge. And because of where we sit in the market, we are kind of, I'd say, 3 to 6 months ahead of where the consumer market is. Because we can see what brands are planning to do.
Yeah.
And we found that, 2 years ago, mushroom nootropics were really being pushed a lot. And now you can see it in the market, how many there is and how many... My dad's taking them. He's 65 years old and you'd never expect him to take mushroom nootropics, but he is, and he finds a benefit for them.
That's amazing to see the older generation. Because you're right, you think it's a sort of a younger person's thing, these sort of alternative options. Whereas, seeing an older generation, people like them embracing it and seeing that change is really interesting. I also think on that, I think there's been a huge shift in the industry over the past few years where people, I guess, kind of like food and supermarkets and things like that, people are now looking for the more natural, the more organic, the less processed options seems to generally be where the industry is turning towards. And mushrooms kind of answer that problem.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. They most of them don't taste too good, because as you'd expect, but people are willing to put up with a poor taste for something that tastes amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Matt, you know, what was your kind of interest in sports? I know you were doing some weightlifting, some powerlifting yourself. Yep. I know you're a huge football advocate. What is it that sort of captures your interest around sports and supplements?
Yeah, so I not as to the level Miles did, but I did go through a phase
You kept the shorts on.
I kept the shorts on and the top as well. But I dabbled in weightlifting and tried all of that. And it's interesting how... When taking, I actually take creatine now as well, but not without being in the gym. I actually learned the mental benefits of creatine.
Yeah,
you wouldn't think that.
No, you definitely wouldn't. But that's quite a recent study, isn't it? It's shown to improve cognitive capacity as well, which is obviously not what pretty much anyone takes it for. But that's some recent studies that have come out, haven't they?
Yeah. I had no idea either. You hear creatine, you instantly put that as protein, then creatine, then maybe pre-workout as your three big weightlifting supplements. But actually, the mental benefits I noticed from it were incredible. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to keep taking this.
Yeah, you know? Really, really powerful ingredient as well, creatine. Mm-hmm. And we will go on many more podcast episodes to really dive into different ingredients and different products and are they beneficial, are they not, are they healthy, are they not? And the creatine, I think, is, you would probably agree, really, really big game changer.
What sort of dose are you taking? That sort of the 5 gram, is it the general kind of like industry
the
standard?
The monohydrate, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a 5 gram gummy. That's what I take. But it's well, not a single 5 gram gummy. It's multiple.
Like three of them, yeah.
Yeah, multiple. But it's actually interesting because we found, and I don't know if you was involved in this, Harry, but we tested some gummies for a customer and multiple of them, some creatine gummies, and multiple of them come back and didn't have the correct amount as they were on the label. And it's really interesting. I just thought every label was going to tell the truth and that's fine. And then coming here, you quickly learn that not necessarily that's not the case at all. And it took me a lot of hunting to find a gummy that actually had 5 grams.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think that's one thing that we've sort of all seen from working within the industry, that it's not always what it says on the label. It's, you know, you kind of have to take these things at face value. You think, oh, you know what, it's a professional brand, a professional label, and you've got to understand a lot of these brands, you know, they are going above and beyond and they do have all their products third party tested. Hey, there's twice as many people that are just getting something cheap, slapping it on Amazon, buying it from China without any real documentation, certification around it, and just trying to peddle it onto whoever will take it. So yeah, I've always been amazed at the sort of natural variation that you will have on the same product, the same manufacturer, but you could buy different batches and really have a completely different dosages.
As a consumer, you've got to look for those hallmarks for quality. Mm-hmm. You've got to understand how to read a label. And I think that's what we've all come together to do here, is to teach people from our different perspectives. How do you do that? How do you really ensure that you are getting the most benefit, the maximum benefit from what you're paying for when you're buying from these brands? Who's good, who's bad? You know, how to sort of hack the human body with food, supplements, anything.
Really. No, absolutely. And I think what's so interesting is, you know, I think there are so many products out there these days that have real benefit that should be introduced into your life. I think there's just as many that are snake oil, that are just fancy marketing that they've just put together really well. And I think, again, I came into the industry thinking, no, actually, everything's going to be above board and tested. But we've all seen and you know, experienced products where actually they're, you know, maybe the brand sort of turned around, but like, oh, actually, you know, can we lower the dosages? And we say, okay, yeah, you could lower the dosages of those, but essentially it'll be ineffective. And they're like, but we can still say it on the label. It's like, well, yeah. And they're like, fire away, slap it on there and go. And it's, you know, it's how does a normal person know to look out for that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, a lot of what we want to do is, you know, back to that same, you know, statement I'm saying, if consumers don't demand it, then brands won't provide it. And we want here consumers to demand the very best so that the brands can ultimately. Harry, I want to go into a little bit about your journey as well.
Yeah, of course. Are we going to take a short break first, guys, or do we have time? No, what I think we'll do, guys, we'll take a real short break. We'll rehydrate, we'll refuel, we'll get some electrolytes, some creatine gummies on the go. We are in the hottest studio in the world. We could be filming this in hell and we'd still be like, oh, there's a nice little breeze going on in here.
Yeah.
So give us 2 minutes, guys. We'll have a quick cool down. We'll come back and we'll crack back on. Thank you. And we're back, guys. Welcome back to Fig Factor Weekly with Harry, Matt and Miles with us today. Thank you for staying with us through the break. We had to air out the room, didn't we, guys?
We did have to air out the room. It was getting hot in here.
We're in a large building, and since we've opened the doors, we've had at least 2 or 3 people walk by just to comment on the smell of the room. So just be thankful that you're hearing us or you know, watching us, but you're not smelling it.
Yeah,
but,
there's no supplements for that.
Yeah, not for the smells that apparently we've been creating. The worst thing is, as well, I walked out like, I'm smelling fresh as hell. I'm absolutely fine.
It's all that garlic we've been eating for health benefits, basically.
Yeah.
2 cloves a day.
People all the way down the corridor were like, whoa, bloody hell. I went upstairs and they were commenting on it. I was like, is that bad?
You can't smell it when it's your own smell. You're
nose blind, isn't it?
Yeah, we're nose blind in here.
The problem with people stink is they don't realise.
That's why
you got to pull them. I always thought, I'd way rather someone pull me aside and go, by the way, like, you absolutely reek. Here, do something about it, rather than walking into a room where everyone's like, absolutely stinks.
Yep. Yeah. If any aircon company wants to sponsor us, they are very, very welcome.
Yeah, we are all for
Please.
It.
Yeah.
In fact, that reminds me, should I turn this unit off? We can pick up sound from it. Back into the heat we go.
There we go, back into the heat. And let's pick up with where I left off, Harry. So we've all spoken about our experience before with health and wellness, with supplements, and also joining this industry and how eye-opening it's been. Let's talk about your journey.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much. I'll, you know me, I'm never short for words, so I'll try to keep this under 55 minutes for this one question. But when I grew up, I think sports and general fitness were always a huge part of our upbringing. Mm. My dad, before I was born, was a semi-professional footballer, and he got in a really horrendous car crash. He sort of run the London Marathon, and I was really lucky. You know, weekends were always going out for bike rides and long walks. And having a dad in particular who was so into sports growing up, it was hell, Miles. Oh my God. The schedule of extracurricular activities. Mm. And I'll be really honest, guys.
For you?
For me, yeah, absolutely. And I was horrendous. Mm. I'm a terrible football player. I was...
Not your calling.
I was, and this is the tough bit. And also as well, I've sort of learned this as growing up. I think the more people try and push you towards things...
The more you want to rebel.
The more you want to rebel. So my dad loved football. Mm. And I think it just wasn't for me. And I think, and I've told Matt this story countless numbers of times. We grew up in the south. My dad and his family from Manchester moved down. I grew up at a time that you never saw someone wear a Manchester City shirt.
You still don't.
Down south. You didn't see it. And like, we used to drive 5 hours to go watch the football. I'd watch my dad just go into fury. And I remember being like, oh, it's a nice weekend out. As he's there just screaming, and we had a nice 5 hour car ride home. I think, I did the sports in school. I think I was a bit of a late bloomer, really skinny, really small in secondary school. Rugby, played that, but freezing cold on a Sunday morning. Yep. I was actually the captain of the rugby team for a couple of years.
Right.
Oh, well, actually, what it is I look back on that now, and I'm like, that was charity. I wasn't good. They were like, oh, this poor fuck. We better do something to really try and build this.
But you'd be good at rallying the troops,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I remember at the time being like, I'm captain of the rugby team, and it's only now as a grown man I look back and be like, those teachers must have all crowded around and be like, we got to do something for this.
Did you get the most improved award as well?
Yeah, it wasn't hard, was it?
Did you look like, what did you look like, Captain America before he went in the machine?
Yes, pre-Captain America, just tiny little thing. Like, all right, guys, let's bring it together. I was awful, and I'll never forget once that my younger brother, who I love, you know, he's an absolute cheese. He's brilliant, love hanging out with him. When I was growing up, I hated him because he was so much better at all of it than me. Uh-huh. I think sports were so big, and he could run fast, and he was better at football, and he'd be on all the sports teams. I was just there, just like, you mother. Mm. So just didn't love sports when I was growing up. And really, my sort of interest in fitness and health and everything like that, I think it probably came once I joined university. Similar to you, I think I wanted to just feel good about myself. I wanted the girls to notice me a bit more. I think when you hit your early 20s, that's where I feel like the physicality really is so different. You can see the difference in people who do work out and don't work out. So I started working out in the gym, which I enjoyed. And like you all know, when you first start, you get great results. Mm. You really see that change at first.
You grow so fast, you get stretch marks everywhere. It's crazy.
Exactly. So the problem for me was, again, I was sort of making it up as I went along. Mm. I didn't have the information that I have now. So I was going 5-6 days a week, just all bench press, all arm curls, everything. So I had great biceps, I had a good chest, terrible posture, legs like a pair of toothpicks. And I just didn't understand nutrition at all as well. I'd go home and I'd say, protein, I need protein, I need protein. Oh, I'm going to eat this meat, I'm going to eat this mince, and da, da, da. But actually, I didn't take good care of carbs. I had really, my diet was actually horrendous. I had no vegetables. I didn't have carbs. And if they were, they certainly weren't good carbs. I'd dirty bulk. So I remember just being like, oh, I'm bulking. All these donuts and muffins and things like that. So I had good arms, I had a good chest, terrible posture. And I just developed this big gut. I couldn't work out why. Mm. And that's what kind of started my fitness journey. So started working out and really enjoying it. And then around the same time, I started watching mixed martial arts. So this was literally right I'll say his name. So Conor McGregor, who eclipsed the sport. He's more famous than the UFC or MMA. People know Conor McGregor, but they don't know the sport. Mm. And it was literally when he first arrived onto the scene. I think it was his first UFC fight. It was probably the first time I started watching it.
Yeah.
And I was just so captivated. And I think I'd never found a sport that I could watch that I was so interested in. And then I found this and I was like, oh my God, this is the most exciting thing I've ever seen. I had to, you know, I was calling up all my friends and I started watching it. And, you know, like idiot guys do, everyone has a few drinks, everyone watches it. I've got a few rugby mates and they're like, oh yeah, we'll have a little tussle. And I remember being like, okay, yeah, I sort of play fought with my brother and stuff. I thought, okay, I'll go to the gym, I'm in good shape. I had a really good friend from a rugby guy called Josh. And I remember we said, oh yeah, we'll have a little tussle. And he just threw me all about the place. And I remember just being like, I remember in my mind being like, this is going to be even, I'm going to win this. Nah, I was just put on my back immediately, got up, dusted off, like, oh yeah, we'll go again. And it just happened repeatedly. And I was like, oh no. And I remember thinking, I'm going to go to one of these MMA gyms. I'm going to start getting into it. My physicality is there, but I want to do something with that physicality now. And I think the sport really called to me. So I started training Muay Thai in my early 20s. So for those who don't know, it's Thai boxing. It's punches, kicks, knees and elbows. It's a very legitimate sport and it's a good foundation for a lot of fight sports. And I'm so open about this with people. I was terrified when I started training. I would, you know, you're not going to the village hall. You're not going to village hall with a load of people wearing, you know, little karate gis. Like, you are turning up to an MMA gym. You're turning up, there's rings, there's cages, they're training professional fighters. And I remember I used to turn up and sit outside my car and I'd just be looking at the door and I'd be like, if I just turned around and went home now, no one would know. I could just go home right now. But I really forced myself to go and do it. And my only goal was just to make it through the classes. That was it. It was just to make it through the classes.
Got over that mental hurdle.
Yeah. It's like that David Goggins thing. It was forcing myself to do something I was uncomfortable with and that was hard. And it was the best thing I ever did because you just learn so much discipline and confidence. And as well, you know, like a strongly worded email really is like water off a duck's back when you train combat sport. So I did Muay Thai for a few years. I went and trained out in Thailand for a few months that I loved. That was an amazing experience. And all throughout this time, the more I'm getting involved in the sport, the more I'm learning about real fitness, about real nutrition. I quickly realized, oh, these weights workouts I was doing were absolute crap. I need to do, you know, I need to work the core. I need to do, you know, deadlifts. I need to squat. I need to do a proper full body regime. I need to run. I never ran before. And then, you know, you spar for 30 seconds, you're like, and you've got people who are fresh as daisies coming at you. And then I moved away from that area. And then I came back here to Kent. And there was nowhere in the immediate area that did Muay Thai. So I thought, oh, okay, here we are. I'll try MMA. So I started doing MMA. And again, I'm sure everyone knows, but it's not only striking, but it's grappling. It's a lot of grappling. To the layman, they watch it and they're like, why doesn't he just stand up? If I told you to go and do a 5-mile run and then I laid on top of you and was like, just get up and I'm going to try and hold you down as hard as I can, it's a very different story. So
yeah, definitely.
I went to an MMA gym, never been before, and I found I could strike with them really well. But these guys, as soon as they realised I had no grappling, they'd hold me down and I was just absolutely helpless. So started learning the grappling, which was really fun. And it's a lovely change of pace to not be getting punched and kicked in the face. And then it just all grew from there and I tied it all together. I really adjusted my weight workouts. I adjusted my diet. I started running. I also started stretching and doing yoga, things like that. I started taking supplementation seriously. And
what did
really
you start with on the supplements?
So on supplements, like Matt said, just protein. Just protein powder. And also as well, thinking that it's like a miracle cure. Mm-hmm. Just being like, oh, I'll take 2 scoops and I'm going to get big. But what I sort of always try and explain to people is it's a helping hand. It's there to help. Yeah. It's there to improve. It doesn't do the work for you. You can't take protein and not lift weights and think, I'm going to get big. Yeah. You know, you can't take multivits and not still eat fruit and veg and bits like that. You know, it's there to help and improve. But, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you can't just take a fat burner and be like, well, that's the hard work done. I've eaten my fat burner. You've got to do the work. So I started doing more and more around, you know, my supplements. I started taking, you know, protein and multivits and creatine. And as anyone who's done sports or high level, that level of impact is really difficult for your body to deal with. So you've got to take cod liver oil, glucosamine sulfate, things like that. And I really noticed a benefit. I had horrendous issues with such skinny little wrists and hitting the pads all the time. The impact was horrendous. I managed to solve all of that through proper supplementation along with, you know, some strength and conditioning work. So it's not one without the other, but I managed to tie it together and it just transformed my life. And I think I went from having this kind of body of someone who looked like he went to the gym but didn't really know what he was doing to actually having a really good, strong physique. You know, I'm confident at any point I can get up and I can just, if I had to right now, I can just run 10 miles. It's no problem.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so the passion for the sport just sort of grew and grew and grew. Started doing more grappling. I had a wonderful story of running into that same rugby friend a few years later at a stag do. Amazing. And we did the exact same thing again. Baby, you want a tussle? I said, let's have a tussle. I've
been waiting my whole life for this moment.
Oh, I was super cool about it. We slapped hands. We bumped fists. We went 10 seconds. I just had him over and over and over. We did two or three. And I was like, you want to go again? He was like, nope, we're done. And I was like, yes. And you know, as time went on, I started coaching the sport. I competed a few times at a sort of a national level. You know, I didn't have great success competing. I think I didn't compete much
record?
As a kid. It's across a lot of different disciplines. So, we'll have a look later on and we can maybe show a couple of bits of it. But, you know, it's not great. But I think it's more about, for me, overcoming that stress and that pressure and getting up and doing it. I don't think I ever performed as well as I could. That's not to say I won't go again. But I think what I've really struggled with is you turn up to some sort of venue midday and they're like, by the way, you'll be on at 9 p.m. and you're like, and you just wait around all day, and I'm just like, you know, I just lose the enthusiasm for it so quickly. And you know what else? I love training, I love the team spirit. I'm a nice guy, you know. I'm more than happy to defend myself, but there's no part of me I think when I started I had a real chip on my shoulder. I felt insecure, whereas now that's gone and I don't have the desire to want to really hurt people. And I think if you go down to any MMA gym, you'll see, you know, those are the people who do really well. Is, you know, you'll have someone turn up for a trial day. Oh, it's my free trial day. And they'll just go in and they'll fight them like they've been doing it for years. Whereas I try and enjoy it more and more as a sort of team side of it. So now we sort of focus on, you know, a little bit of MMA, but mostly sort of grappling and weightlifting and running. And I've got a lovely 2-year-old Labrador as well, where I take out running. And like I said, I'm really lucky to have a really good woman in my life who creates a brilliant selection of meals throughout the week, really clean, really wholesome. So that's 70% of the work done there for me.
Big benefits from that sort of clean.
I've noticed way better physique,
yep.
Way better recovery, way less injuries. You know, I didn't realise how, even when I thought I'd cleaned my diet up, I still didn't realise how bad it was. It was horrendous. I was eating pizzas 3-4 nights a week. The other two nights I was having like bacon. I would seem to eat bacon with pretty much every single meal, and I don't think anyone says, oh, bacon, a really clean lean meat. And then that's when I got a phone call from the wonderful Miles George saying, all right, well, you know, we've seen your stuff, we might have an opportunity together. And I came on board to be a business development manager here at Supplement Factory. And so similar to your journey, I thought, when I go here, I thought, oh, I know these, I pretty much know everything. Okay, maybe a few beauty supplements I don't know, but I think same as you, my eyes were open to the extent of what you can get, how much overlaps, and like we've spoken about so much, working with brands who really care, really put their customer first, who really want to put something out there that's really going to help people. And I've seen just as many brands who are just like, it is all marketing for us. We just want the lowest cost for the product. We're going to sell as high as we can. We've got a great marketing team. And just learning to decipher all of these different things. And
yeah.
And like I said, you know, we deal with so many new clients, and we all love seeing a new client come along and seeing their product go to market. I find it so satisfying. But, you know, the sort of questions that they ask, and I think what people probably don't understand is a lot of these brands that launch, they're not experts either. They're as expert as we are, you know. And I think it's just been really interesting understanding, you know, how, you know, the different sort of credentials each of these brands have, how much work they actually put into R&D, how solid their formulations are designed versus just trying to rip something else off. And I've just loved it every second ever since. Yeah,
there's definitely great brands out there, like you said, that work with us really hard on the R&D and the research and putting the right things in the products and having it made well. You know, that's what we're all about. And there's also brands out there that, you know, just want to, how can we get to market quick?
Yeah.
Fast as we can. We don't care what happens in between. We want the maximum margin in the product, and you know, that's fine. Everything we produce here is safe and legal. But there are distinct differences between the products, and obviously, you know, we want to help people understand those differences and make the most informed decisions.
Yeah.
And I think we could probably sit here talking for about another 3 hours. But I think we'll wrap it up here, basically, on our mission and you know, what we want to do you know, three passionate guys in the industry, different perspectives on health and fitness and wellness and
different goals, ideas of what it means to be healthy.
And coming straight into this business, you know, behind the scenes and just going, wow, this is not what we believed it was. This is completely different. There's so much here that can be understood and how we can make better decisions on you know, our own products and how we empower our own health better. You know, my supplement stack after about 6 months of being here actually just completely changed. The whole lot was just completely different after 6 months. So we're going to be about educating people on that. And yeah, that is, you know, going to be what we're going to do in our weekly roundup. But we're also going to have guests as well. We will have some great, we're going to call them, he's going to call it the Insider Spotlight. We're going to get some insiders on in different areas of health and wellness, doctors, scientists, to impart some really amazing knowledge.
I think general lifestyle advice as well. Like we said, I think so much of it is, you know, the supplements are here for a helping hand. It's so interesting. But I think, you know, general mindfulness, the general lifestyle, the steps that we're all taking and you know, big things and little things we can all do just to improve the way we feel and our health.
Health is a big package, isn't it? There's so many things. It's like building a house.
It's there a broad term.
There's so much. And I think there's so much depth that we can go into and in helping.
Yeah. And I think we all do different areas of it. And we can all speak about our different experiences, you know, whether it's food, whether it's supplements or just that, you know, mindfulness, meditation. You know, I do cold water therapy. I'm sure we could do probably a whole podcast, but
Let's get some ice tubs in here. Let's see.
Let's do it live.
I think I've seen someone do that before, but actually, both the guys refused to get out, and I think they were in there for about 40 minutes. And I think the film crew had to cut it. They had to be like, "We're not allowed to have you in here for this long," because both of them were like, "I'm not getting out first. You're getting out first."
Having tried it, I'm ill that episode, so I'll leave you two boys to it.
Yeah. Who can die the quickest, basically? Completely blue by the end of it. But next episode, episode two, we're going to talk about just how unregulated supplements can be in the UK, which is quite eye-opening. You, in essence, can actually cook something up in your bedroom and put that online for sale in the UK. Nobody really steps in between to stop that.
And if your branding's good and you've got a website, you know, to the uneducated person, how would you ever know the difference?
It can be a little bit dangerous. And just dosing of supplements as well. You know, what is the right dosage? What should you be looking for? Are supplements dosed correctly? Do they actually have the doses they claim on the label? We're going to get into that. I think there's going to be some eye-opening stuff there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what's so interesting and hopefully beneficial for the audience as well is, in the grand scheme of things, supplements are still so new. I think really, you know, they've sort of only been around for 100 years and probably only widely available for sort of the past 40 or so. So it is still a very new and emerging industry. And I think there's still a lot that we need to learn and everyone at home needs to learn as well.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Okay, guys, we'll wrap it up there. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Miles, as always, damn fine work. As always, just carrying this damn show you are.
Just easy. Yeah. Easy work.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I've been Harry, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. Thank you very much for joining.